Welcome to Exceedingly Abundant Ministries with Pastor Gary Cole. We are committed to bringing you the good news of the gospel, believing that God wants to make Christians whole in spirit, soul, and body. Visit our website at eaministries.net. Now, here is Pastor Gary with today's teaching.
Good afternoon. The Lord bless you. I pray that you had a wonderful Resurrection Sunday. The Lord is very good. We're going to talk about Jesus today. You know, too often times people hear about Jesus, but they don't hear about the Jesus Christ of the Bible. It is so important that you know what the Word of God teaches about who Jesus Christ is. Because remember, the Holy Spirit only bears witness of Jesus of the Bible. And it's only receiving the Jesus Christ in the Word of God does a person truly become born again. So let's talk about him. You know, we celebrated that he's the risen Savior. He's alive. And that's so exciting because he lives, we can live also. Now, first of all, let's just establish that Jesus Christ has always existed because he is God. Notice here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man after our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every other creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Now, when God said, "Let us," he was talking about Father God, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, the triune God. Remember, Jesus was there in the beginning. Not only do we serve an eternal God, but Jesus Christ is the eternal Son. The Holy Spirit is the eternal Spirit. Always existed. In fact, we go here in the book of John, and we're very excited for this revelation that John received from God. In John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So whoever this Word is God. Let's continue. "The same was in the beginning with God." There we have it. Verse 3, "All things were made by him." Now we're talking about Jesus Christ, and we'll prove that in just a minute. "And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." Let's jump down to verse 9. "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him." By who? By Jesus Christ. Amen? "And the world knew him not. He came into his own," talking about the Jewish people, "and his own received them not." Now again, the nation didn't receive him, but there were some Jewish people who did. And even now we're seeing many Messianic Jews, those who are receiving the revelation of Jesus Christ and getting saved. Again, another indication that we are in the last days. Verse 12. "But as many as received him," Jesus Christ, "to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Verse 14 gives us the identity. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Okay, so it's Jesus Christ. He was always in the beginning. He just didn't appear on earth because he was born. No, Jesus Christ came down from heaven. The infinite, eternal Son of God came and put on a human suit, became fully man, that he might bring eternal redemption to mankind. Isn't that exciting? That scripture that comes to mind right now is over here in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Remember, it's so important that you understand Jesus Christ is God. And it's only through Jesus Christ can any person hope to go to heaven. It's only through Jesus. Here, 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the nations, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Yes, that is Jesus Christ. Do you see? That's why any other person than Jesus is a false god. And all these cults and isms and false religions, they're all going to die and go to hell because they refused to truly understand who the true God is. Our God came down from heaven. You know, I've heard people say, oh, if God would have just come down and show us who he was, he did 2,000 years ago, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Holy Spirit, even when Jesus went back to heaven, he's in earth today bearing witness, convicting boys and girls, men and women of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and making Jesus Christ alive and real to all who would believe in him. Isn't that exciting? So we're establishing Jesus Christ always existed. The second truth, Jesus was prophesied in the Old Testament. Let's go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. Often a scripture we'll use at Christmas time. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And remember, Emmanuel means God with us. Also, let's go over here to the chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called. Now remember, this is talking about Jesus. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with justice and with righteousness from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. Probably my favorite verse in the Old Testament about Jesus is found in Isaiah chapter 53, starting verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs. Now that word in the Hebrew literally means sicknesses. And carried our sorrows. Again, in the Hebrew, literally the word means pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Oh, I love that. Do you know Jesus cares about the entire person that we are, spirit, soul, and body? Yes, Jesus Christ wants to make you perfectly whole, because truly by his stripes we are healed. And that word healed also means physical healing. Not just being born again, but being set free from demonic influence and torment and healed in your body. Isn't that exciting to know? It was prophesied that Jesus Christ would be this person. Notice here again, going back to the book of John, chapter 1, verse 29, you know, when Jesus appeared on the scene, John the Baptist was kind of his predecessor. He went before in preparing the way of the Lord. And notice here in John chapter 1, verse 29, what the Bible says. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. You see, Jesus came with a divine purpose. Through Adam and Eve, mankind fell into sin. Every baby since Adam and Eve has been born with a totally depraved, fallen natures. Remember, the Bible teaches that we're sinners by nature, we're sinners by choice. You know, you don't have to teach little babies to be selfish or to lie or say no, do you? As sweet as they are, they have that rebellious nature. It's in all of us. And Jesus Christ came to redeem us. Amen. Luke 19:10, Jesus says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." And all mankind was lost, and Jesus came to redeem him back to God the Father through his sacrifice on the cross. That's exciting, isn't it? In fact, let's go here to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. I think it's so important to establish how important it is, the sacrifice Jesus made for us, and how much it really cost him for us to have this eternal salvation. Beginning in verse 11, "But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood." Now, did you hear that? "By his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and of the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit," you see that, eternal Spirit, "offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." So Jesus Christ, you know, in the Old Testament, they offered those sacrifices. Well, now Christ was the final sacrifice. All the Old Testament sacrifices pointed to the time that God would send the perfect Lamb, who would once and for all make atonement for sins. So we don't offer sacrifices for sins anymore, do we? Because Jesus did that for us. Notice here verse 22 in Hebrews 9. "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." You know, that's such an important verse. You know, there's some people that think by just kind of being religious and being good and doing good, that somehow, some way, God will let him into heaven one day. And I tell you, absolutely not. No way. If you could have done it by yourself, God the Father wouldn't have allowed his Son to come down from the glories of heaven and become men and to live a sinlessly perfect life and then go to the cross and suffer such terrible scourgings and whippings and beating and give his life if there was any other way for you to get right with God. Your good works are an affront to God if you think they're going to get you to heaven. Only through the shedding of the blood of an innocent sacrifice are sins forgiven. And Jesus was the only one that could do that because he was the only perfect man. Remember, he was fully man, fully God, and he came down from the glories of heaven. I like over here in the book of Hebrews also, chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible says, "By which will we are sanctified," that means made holy, "through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering often the same sacrifices which could never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." So the only right way you can be made right in the sight of God the Father is by receiving his Son Jesus into your heart as Savior and Lord repenting of your sins. When you repent of your sins and invite Jesus into your heart, the precious blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross 2,000 years ago is applied to your sins, and you're forgiven, and you become white as snow. God declares you not guilty on the basis of what Jesus Christ did for you. Isn't that wonderful? Romans 6:23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So there's only one way to heaven, right? It's through Jesus Christ. I like what Peter said in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Remember, on the cross, Jesus defeated Satan once and for all through his sacrifice. Amen. That's why Revelation 12:11, it says, "For they overcame him," that's the devil, "by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto the death." Satan is defeated through the blood of Jesus. And only as the blood of Jesus is applied to your sins by repentance and faith can you be born again. You say, "Well, I didn't know that. I need to receive Jesus." Yes, you do. Pray with me right now. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I understand today that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again. I'm sorry for my sins, Jesus. I repent right now of my sins. Lord Jesus, please allow your precious blood to cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, come into my heart right now and be my Savior and Lord of my life. I give myself completely to you. Thank you for saving me. Amen. I tell you, if you prayed that prayer from your heart and meant it, welcome to the family of God. You are now born again. Amen. Now you just need to find you a good church. First act of obedience is get baptized in water. Then you begin to grow in the Word and become a disciple. And there's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. There's the fruit and gifts of the Holy Spirit. As you surrender yourself to God, God begins to reveal His purpose and plan for your life. And you now can live a full and meaningful life in this life and live for Jesus. And then one day when you do die, you go to heaven to ever be with the Lord and all the saints that have gone on before. Isn't that exciting? Jesus made that possible for us. We cannot do it without Him. Remember, you have to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. In fact, I like the last part of 1 John 3:8. Well, I'll just quote the whole verse. "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Oh, I love that. And Jesus did that through his sacrifice, through his atoning death. He defeated Satan. He defeated sin. He defeated death. He defeated disease. Oh, don't you love Jesus? Everyone needs Jesus Christ. Amen? So these are just some of the things that Jesus has done, the part of his divine purpose. And again, let's talk about his sacrificial death just for a minute. Let's go over here to the book of Romans, chapter 5, beginning verse 8. "But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That's everyone on planet Earth. "Much more then, being now justified by his blood," that word justified is a legal term that means to be declared righteous, which answers the question, how can a sinner like myself be made right in the eyes of a holy, perfect God? Well, here it is. "Much more than being justified," declared righteous by his blood, the blood of Jesus, "we shall be saved from wrath," that's the wrath of God, "through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the reconciliation. You see, it's the precious, remember, when you prayed and invited Jesus into your heart and gave your life to him, the precious blood of Jesus was applied to your sins. You were forgiven. Your sins were placed upon Jesus, and his righteousness, right standing with God, was imputed, given to your account. And now God declares you righteous, justified. Somebody broke that down, the word justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Isn't that awesome? Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sin. Amen. Aren't you thankful? Tell everybody about Jesus. Don't ever be ashamed of Jesus. He's the Creator. He came down from heaven. We live and breathe because Jesus allows us to. Do you understand that? He's our God. Amen? Let's go on and look at a couple more scriptures right now. Jesus Christ gives us a future. You know, was it last week we were talking about resurrection? Remember what Jesus said about himself here in John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26? Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You better believe I believe it. Amen. You know, heaven is going to be so much sweeter. And you say, what do you mean by that? Well, last year my sister died. Wasn't too many years ago my dad died. My grandparents have passed on. People I dearly love, my wife's dad and mom died this last year. And they all knew Jesus. Heaven's going to be such a sweet place. Not just seeing Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, but the saints and all those who have received Jesus will be able to be together forever and ever. Isn't that awesome? Jesus is so good. Father God really does love us. He provided salvation for us through his son Jesus. And Jesus loved us enough to be willing to come down from the glories of heaven and become man and die on a cross for the sins of the people he created. Now that's perfect love. So don't ever ask if Jesus loves you. He's proved it. He proves it over and over. Notice here in John chapter 14, we're talking about our future. Jesus has provided for us. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And that'll be soon, let me tell you. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Did you hear what Jesus said? Jesus says the only way we can come to Father God, Jehovah God, is through him, Jesus. Now, that's the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you know that's right? Do you know if you told someone that through being involved in a false religion or a cult, an ism, that they would make it to heaven, that you called Jesus a liar and a deceiver? Jesus said, no. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if you try to tell anyone that they have any kind of possibility of getting into heaven apart through receiving Jesus Christ of the Bible, you have lied to them and you've called Jesus a liar. And that won't be a funny thing when you stand before God. There's only one way to heaven. It's Jesus Christ. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said this in Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And the name, he said, was Jesus Christ. That's the truth. Amen. Don't let people go to hell and you help them to get there by not telling them the truth, that without Jesus Christ, your sins are not forgiven. And it has to be the Jesus Christ of the Bible, who is the eternal Son of God, God manifested in the flesh, the way, the truth, and the life. And that Jesus wants to be your Savior and Lord, Deliverer, Healer. He's the soon coming King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and He is the only way. Now that's the Jesus Christ of the Bible, because He's God. He's the Creator. Don't deny the Creator by telling people that they can get there some other way. They can't, they won't, and they'll die and go to hell. And you know, when they go to hell, not only will they be in torment continually, they'll probably be lifting up their finger, and you probably won't hear it if you're born again, saying, "Why didn't you tell me? I'm in torment in these flames, and you lied to me and told me I would probably make it, and you knew I was in a false religion or a cult or an ism." Don't lie to people. Don't send them to hell. Tell them the truth. And please never call Jesus a liar and a deceiver. And if you tell them there's any other hope, you've called Jesus a liar and a deceiver, because He said, "I am." Only Jehovah God could say that. "I am the way, the truth, and the life," eternal life. "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Amen. So agree with God. Tell everybody about Jesus. Never be ashamed. You know, it wasn't politically correct in Jesus' day to talk about Jesus. That's the way it is today. I'm not shutting my mouth. I'm going to have boldness by the power of the Holy Spirit to lift up Jesus Christ. How about you? You know, we just got through with Resurrection Sunday. Do you know every Christian celebrated Resurrection Sunday? Because every Christian is someone who has told Jesus that they believed He did raise again from the dead. And anybody that's not sure or doesn't believe that Jesus raised from the dead, they are all children of the devil and they'll die and go to hell. Oh, preacher, how can you say that? Because the main scripture in the Bible that tells us exactly how to be saved, listen to what it says. Romans 10:9-10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that's Jesus is Lord, and shall believe in thine heart, that means with everything within you. Now what do you believe? That God hath raised Him, that's Jesus, from the dead, that's resurrection, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You say, does it work for everyone? Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, shall be saved. So it works for everyone, but only for those who know, and again, you know it if the Holy Spirit's convicting you and revealing Jesus to you, that Jesus died for my sins and rose again, and you ask Him into your heart. You see, the resurrection, everything stands and falls with it. But every Christian knows Jesus has risen from the dead. I pray He lives in your heart. If not, give your heart to Him today. God bless you.
This broadcast is made possible by our faithful partners in the ministry outreach of Bethel Worship Center in Joplin, Missouri. If you have been blessed by Pastor Gary Culp's teaching and would like to know more about our ministry, feel free to visit our website at eaministries.net. That's aministries.net.